Blog Talk Radio.
Multiplication, no long division, no subtraction or any.
any other type of mathematics. Just trust in Yahweh's word and what he say will happen.
It's the delight of my soul, the only thing that controls. This is the sweetest of roll that I ate in this hole. You know it's the Almighty, the one who's always right. Be you see the light in the sky, you know it's day. And then it's night when the lesser light shines. It's the most sublime, the most profound, the illest sound ever heard round this town, around this globe. It be the Torah of Yahweh Elohim. Do you understand the things that I speak in these days of the last? It done passed when these people about to fall off the earth like grass. With this, like the flower fades. You know how it is these days. People getting played, being so lies of age. But my words, they spray, proclaim the most high name. And you know how it is. We ain't playing no games. No, you give me this word, so it beats the fire. And y'all be like wood burned up. Tell me that you could ever test black. Never that. Step back. Don't make me grab the cat. Quickly, they go click to the clack. Y'all can't see how it all comes all into one meaning of truth. It be Yahweh. I'm up in the booth doing what I do, teaching my youth. Y'all cats better know the truth in here. There's no spears, there's no squares, there's only one Yahweh, the Elohim. I'm a son, it's Yahweh, and I'm done, done.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. By saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. I praise the mighty Yah for the Most High, Creator of the universe, has allowed us to bring to you another program and allowed us to come before you another day, another week, bringing to you nothing but the truth. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth. For Yah ordained me to tell you the truth. So this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king. He's our judge. He is our lawgiver. And he is our only savior. And not just of Israel. Yah is the savior of the world. And I praise Yah for allowing us to bring to you his great, holy, and exalted words each and every day, 6 days a week, bringing to you nothing but the truth. Today, we're dealing with reflections of the end. It's not irony that we are in the end times. We are in the end times because this is the time that the Creator had purpose and had prophesied to be. But how can one have reflections of the end when they don't know their end? They don't know when their end is. They don't know what the end is. And they have no idea what's coming to an end. So there's a lot of things that must be taught so our people would know their latter end. And why must you know this? Let me just show you a couple of things you got to know. Because, again, this is another subject that is very difficult to do in one program. And little do our people know that anytime the Creator turned to something, He always gives the ending from the beginning. And it's important to know your ending from the beginning because of what the scriptures teach us in the book of Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter. Now I want you to turn there. And show you why this is important. And watch what it says in the book of Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter. And we're going to start at the very first verse. And it says, a good name is better than precious ointment in the day of death than the day of one birth. That don't even seem positive. That don't even seem likely that the day of death is better than the day of one birth. One, you'll be celebrating. One, you will be rejoicing. One, you will be happy. One, you will be, but another, you will be sad, disappointed, hurt, mad, depressed. And how could that be better than one's birth? But this is what the scripture says. And the scriptures teach us wisdom is the principal thing. But with all thy getting, get understanding. Watch what the scriptures say. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. So now, here it is. This is the bottom line. The bottom line is there are things that the Creator want to lay on your heart. And oftentimes, when you are in the time of feasting, you don't take it to heart. However, in the time of mourning, in the time of adversity, in the time of affliction, for some strange reason, you begin to lay things to heart. And we're going to talk about this reflection of the end. Because oftentimes, I see a lot of people complaining I don't hear them complaining when everything is good. I don't hear them complaining when everything is okay. I don't hear them complaining when everything going their way. But soon as the trouble comes, soon as adversity comes, soon as they don't like what they see and they don't like what they hear, here come the complaints. Well, according to this, this is the time that you should be laying things to heart. This is the time where you should be weighing out things. This is the time where you should be reflecting on certain things. Watch what it says. Sorrow is better than laughter. I hear people always tell me, I'm sad, I'm sorry, I'm hurt, I'm down, I'm this, I'm that. But for them, that's not, they don't think sorrow is better than laughter. They rather laugh. They rather rejoice. They rather have a good time. They don't want to have a sorrowful heart. Even though the scriptures says sorrow is better than laughter. And a lot of people need a lot of sorrow. They just don't accept the sorrow that they're getting. So that, therefore, that sorrow remains. It stays there. Watch what it says. Sorrow is better than laughter. For by the sadness of the countenance of the heart is made better. This is all about your heart, brothers and sisters. It's all about your heart. It's always been about your heart. And what happens is most people, the mass majority of the people, they don't deal with the heart. They dealing with their eyes and what they see, their ears and what they hear, but they're not dealing with the heart. And in the end, you're going to wish, you're going to pray that you had dealt with the heart. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. Again, dealing with the heart, dealing with the end. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. But the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. Yeah, as soon as people start getting down, especially young people, the first place they start running to is, I need to get out. I need to get out to the clubs. I need to get out in the city. I need to go have a drink. I need to smoke a joint. Well, why are you smoking a joint for? Why you got to have a drink? Why you got to hit the club? Is it because your heart refused to be where the wise are? And that's in the house of mourning. Are you fighting the mourning and the adversity for? Is that why the Creator bring this to you? Little do people know, Yahweh is attempting to end something for you. And it's not what you think. It's not what you think. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the songs of fools. And this is what happens. You start listening to music and you listen to these foolish songs trying to make you feel better. And let me tell you, it's not. It's not going to make you feel better. You just only dealing with illusion. Yahweh wants you to feel bad, and to be quite frank, it is good that your heart is sorrowful. And let me just give you the bottom line. Watch what the 14th verse say in the same chapter. Because how can you reflect anything concerning the end and not deal with adversity? Watch what this says. 14th verse. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in a day of adversity, consider. And that's the one thing that nobody want to do. They don't want to consider why this is happening to them. Why they going through what they're going through. What is the purpose behind this? Elohim also have set the one over against the other. And watch what it says. To the end that man should find nothing after him. We're talking about the end. Reflections of the end. The end is better than the beginning. The day of one's death is better than one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. Sorrow is better than laughter. And the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools in the house of mirth. And ask yourself, since we are in the time of the end, where do your heart lie? Is your heart the foolishness with the fools? Listening to all these foolish songs to try to make you feel better? Going to all these foolish places to make you happy and rejoice? Or is your heart where it's supposed to be? And that is where? In the house of mourning. Let me show you something. And let me tell you why you want your heart in that very place. See, we're talking about the end. That's why I know a lot of people think that it is a trivial thing that we discuss and talk about for years when the day begin and the day end. If you don't know your ending, how can you reflect on the end? How can you talk about the end? How could you consider the end since the day is coming to an end? And when is that? When do a day come to an end? Well, it can't come to an end at the same time it began, because the ending is better than the beginning. And I want you to see this. Just show you this. Watch this in the book of Job. Just want you to see for yourself. Since a lot of people seem to be caught up in the wrong things, instead of us thinking and considering and allowing our heart to be in a place where the wise should be, our heart is trying to escape this place. Watch what this scripture says. In the book of Job, the very first chapter, the very first verse, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright, and one that feared Elohim and eschewed of evil. See how perfect this man was? It even repeats it in the 8th verse. And Yahweh said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth Elohim and escheweth evil?" This is the type of man he was. A perfect man, an upright man, and one that feareth Elohim. But this man was greatly afflicted. No matter how perfect he was greatly adversity ran rampant in his house. To the extent, watch the second chapter. Look, and this is seven different calamities happened to Job back to back to back to back to back. I want you to see these calamities. The very first one that happened to Job, the very first calamity. And you'll read, I'm going back to Job, the first chapter. The 14th verse, watch what it says. He messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were plowing, the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them, took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." That was the first thing that happened to Job. Killing. Bloodshed. And watch this. While he was yet speaking, there also another said, "The fire of Elohim has fallen from heaven," which is number two. And if you understand Yahweh's order, this makes total sense to you. "And have burned up the sheep and the servants, consumed them, and I only escaped alone to tell thee." And what happened the third time? 17th verse. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The Chaldeans made out three bands," and we at the third order, "fell upon the camels, have carried them away, yea, slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." And watch the fourth thing that will happen. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Now do you see why we must learn Yahweh's order? These are the first four things, back to back to back to back, that will happen to Job. The average person, all they need is one thing to happen to them and they lose their mind. But Job, these four things happen right away. And then Job, what would he do? Arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground, and worshiped. Said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return there. Yah gave, Yah have taken away. Blessed be the name of Yah. And all this Job said not, nor charge Elohim foolishly. So these four things came to Job really, really quick. Because this was a time of adversity, a time of trouble. And you're going to see why the end is better than the beginning. And we're talking about reflections of the end, because we undoubtedly had not considered our end just by the various things that we say and do. Watch what further happened to Job to illustrate what I'm saying. In Job, the second chapter, and watch what it says. The fourth verse. And Satan answered Yah and said, skin for skin. Yea, all that a man have will he give for his life. But put forth thy hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And Yahweh said unto Satan, behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of Yahweh and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a posture to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. In other words, the fifth and sixth thing that will happen to Job is Satan touched his bone and his flesh, which is five and six. Now, all that was bad. This was terrible. He lost his servants. He lost his cattle, which was his wealth. He lost his livestock. He even lost his children. And to make matters worse, he himself became wounded by Satan. Because Satan touched his bone and his flesh. And as bad as that was, Yahweh always say the best for last. Because the beginning is better than the end is better than the beginning. Excuse me. And look what happened in the end. With these seven calamities. And you know these calamities didn't get easier. They got harder. They didn't get weaker. They got stronger. They didn't get more profound. They didn't get less profound. They got more profound. And watch the last thing that will happen to Job. The ninth verse. Then said his wife unto him, Do thou still retain thy integrity? Curse Elohim and die. Now, what in the world is this? I can understand fire coming from heaven. I could understand my servants being killed and their blood being shed. I could understand these bands coming out against us. I can understand a wind coming and smote the four corners of the house. I can even understand me getting sick and wounded. But my own wife telling me to curse Elohim and die? Now, what is this? What is this thing? Do that make any sense to the average person? That don't make sense at all. But it makes total sense. Because this is what will be done. You know how many women curse their men today rather than blessing their men? Because soon as trouble comes, soon as adversity hit, then you're going to know what's in the heart. Because this is about the reflections of the end. And the end always tell you what's in the heart. Whether your heart is in the house of mourning, or whether your heart is in the house of feasting. Whether your heart is otherwise, or whether your heart is with the foolishness. It's all about your heart. And so as you reflect the end, where do your heart lay in a time of trouble and adversity? You don't have to tell me. Yahweh know. Yahweh see. Yahweh hear. And he see how you act when the end comes. And watch this. You're going to see something with Job. You see all the trouble that Job went through. You thought it was for naught. You thought it was in vain. You thought it wasn't right. But Yahweh thought otherwise. During his life, after all these calamities happened, you would think that somebody would come to his aid and give him good counsel. But his friends, no, he didn't get good counsel at all. As a matter of fact, what they did during the time of trouble is exactly what our people do today during the time of trouble and adversity. Come judgmental. Now they going to call you names. But where were these bad names when things was good? When these things was okay? How all of a sudden you become vile when the trouble happens? Why wasn't you vile during the good times? And here it is, Job was judged harshly by his friends. And you see what his own wife said. But watch what happens. In the end, this is the beginning. In the end, it's better than the beginning. One's death is better than one's birth. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. And the heart of a fool is in the heart, is in the house of mirth. And watch this. Since we're reflecting on the end in the book of Job, Job. The 42nd chapter. I want you to see this. This what the fifth verse, Job 42:5. This is what Job said. I've heard of thee by the hearing of my ears, speaking of the Most High, but now my eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And it was so that after Yahweh had spoken these words unto Job, Yahweh said to Eliphaz, Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends. For ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job have. And a lot of people got a lot of things to say about other people. But is it right? They think it's right. As Job's friends thought it was right. But is it right? Here Yahweh telling Job's friends, what you spoke of me about this man, it wasn't right at all. And let me show you what Yah would do. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks, 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and watch what it says. And my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, and that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. See, Job just happened to be down, but make no mistake about it, he was still upright. He was still perfect. He was still a man that feared Elohim and is sure of evil. Down. It was a time of adversity. And in that time, all Yahweh wants you to do is consider. Watch what it says. So Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, Zophar, the Naamathite, went and did according as Yahweh commanded them. Yahweh also accepted Job. And Yahweh turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, Yahweh gave Job twice as much as he had before. And do you know, Job was the richest man in the East in the beginning. So now, after all his adversity, the scriptures say he got twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren, his sisters, and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in the house, and they bemoaned him. In other words, now, because this is what you do in a time of adversity. You don't judge people. You don't raise yourself up over people. You don't start slandering and scorning people. Here, they bemoaned him. In other words, they mourned with him. And comforted him over all the evil that Yahweh had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and everyone an earring of gold. And watch what it says in the 12th verse, because this is the bottom line. So Yahweh blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. She had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. He called the name of his first Yemima. The name of the second, Kaziah. And the name of the third, Karin Hapuk. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. And here it is. Yahweh didn't even tell you the name of his sons. But Yahweh did let you know the name of his 3 daughters. And why? Because to every time there's a purpose. And so Yahweh wanted you to know these 3 daughters by name. And he never even mentioned the name of his 7 sons. His latter end was better than his beginning. And here it is, as we come to an end, to our end, what are your reflections? What are your reflections? Our people seem to be caught up in things that has nothing to do with the house of mourning. The house of mourning is meant. Adversity is purpose. Trouble will come for you to consider. Yahweh is trying to bring something to an end. You have to figure it out. You the one have to know. You are the one that have to consider. And here it is. We don't know the end of a day. And consequently, what happens? We don't consider nothing when the day comes to an end. We don't consider the end of a year, and now we're going into an end of a year until our 7th month, which is the end of the year. But what are you considering? What are you reflecting on? What are you thinking about? What is it purpose for? But we don't even know the end of the year. Who told you that the end of the year is the 7th month? What ministry out there is teaching us when the Creator said the Feast of Ingathering is the time of the end. So once again, reflecting on the end. Furthermore, in the book of Genesis, here we see Job pray for his friend. Because in the end, make no mistake about it, somebody's going to have to pray. And who do Yahweh want to pray? Do you think he wants you to pray for everybody? Because somebody is going to have to pray. Yahweh is bringing trouble. In the time of Job trouble, somebody had to pray. And who you think Yahweh told to pray? Well, it was Job. In the book of Genesis 22. But who is thinking and considering and just thinking about Well, who's going to pray for us in the end? Who think like that? Well, somebody got to pray. You think Yahweh is listening to everybody's prayers? You think Yahweh don't have one that he would desire above everybody because their prayer means something to him? Watch this in the book of Genesis 22. And make that Genesis 21. Genesis 21. And watch what this says. I just want you to see this. Since we're talking about the reflections of the end, and we're going to start reading give me 1 second. That's Genesis, the 20th chapter. 20th chapter. And watch what this is. And you know the story. But if you don't know the story, let me just read it to you. Genesis 20, verse 1. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country, dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said unto Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. In other words, he already told his wife, wherever we go, say you my sister. Now, she's not like many of the women today that will rebel against their husbands, rebel against their spouse, and would do evil. Because Sarah was a virtuous woman. And according to the scriptures say a virtuous woman would not do her husband evil all the days of her life. How is that done? How can she do such a thing? Just by doing good. She's not doing it for him. She's doing it for Yahweh. Because she's a virtuous woman. See, a lot of people get married or want to get married and trying to get married. But they're not doing it for Yahweh. They're not doing it to fulfill the desires of the Most High. They doing this to fulfill their own desires. And then when it don't work out, it's somebody else's fault. Well, your desires is nothing anyway. That's why Solomon said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Because if you was doing this to fulfill the desires of the Most High, then you would know that Yahweh gave you this husband, and that your desires were to be to him. So why would you do him evil? But watch what happens. Third verse. But Elohim came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said unto him, behold, thou art a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, great master, will thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister. And she, even she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart, in the innocency of my hands, have I done this? And Elohim said unto him in the dream, yea, I know that thou did this in the integrity of thy heart. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffer I thee not to touch her. Now therefore, restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know that thou shalt surely die. Not only thou, all that are dying. Yahweh was going to kill everything if he didn't restore this woman, this wife. Because she wasn't just any wife. She was a wife of a prophet. But watch what it says. Ninth verse. And Abimelech called Abraham, said unto him, what hast thou done unto us? What have I offended thee that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that are not to be done. And what did Abraham do? He told his wife to say she is his sister. And watch what Abraham said. And Abraham said, because I thought surely the fear of Elohim is not in his place. They will slay me for my wife's sake. She is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And it came to pass when Elohim caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, this is thy kindness which thou shalt show unto me. At every place whether we shall come, say of me, he is my brother. And Abimelech took sheep, oxen, men servants, woman servants, and gave them unto Abraham, and restored him Sarah, his wife. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before thee. Dwell there where it pleaseth thee. But watch this 17th verse. Just trying to get to the point. He blessed Abraham. Watch what it says in the 17th verse. So Abraham prayed unto Elohim. And Elohim healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants. And they bare children. For Yahweh had fast closed up all the wounds of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. In other words, they were already cursed. Just by the virtues, the fact the prophet's wife was taken. And in the end, right before Yahweh was destroyed, who had to pray? You might say, well, it was Job's fault. Job tried to justify himself. But in the end, and who did Yahweh admonish? It was Abraham's fault. Abraham shouldn't have told his wife not to say what she did. But in the end of all this trouble, who prayed? And who did Yahweh accept? Reflections of the end. Out of all the things we considering in the end, are you considering who will pray for you? Who will actually pray for you? Do you realize on the Day of Atonement, it was the priest who Yahweh had chose, who Yahweh had selected, who Yahweh had rose up to pray for the people? Yes, it was Yahweh's servant. And what are you bringing to an end on the Day of Atonement? Your sins, your transgressions, your iniquities. That's if your heart is right. Because if your heart And this is how you know your heart is right. If your heart is in the house of mourning, because that's where the heart of the wise will be, in the house of mourning. But if your heart is in the house of feasting or mirth, here it is. We got some people will eat and drink on the Day of Atonement because they don't even believe. They don't think that it has anything to do with the heart. It has everything to do with the heart because it let us know where your heart lies. And Yahweh judges the heart. Reflections of the end. Here it is. The day come to an end, but what are we really reflecting on? Considering we let the day end and won't even think nothing about it. Here it is. We don't even know when the end of a year is. So how can we think anything about it? How can we reflect? How can we consider? And here Yahweh got the end of the week. And what are we considering then? What are we reflecting on then? And even then, do we find ourselves thinking about self? And this is what you got to know in the end. Yahweh always purpose and prophesy to let you know in the beginning, what will befall you in the end. So you won't say, well, I didn't know. I didn't have no clue. If I had known, I would have considered it. Look, when our people was in Egypt, watch what happened when they were in Egypt. In the book of Genesis 50, watch this. In the book of Genesis 50, and this is what it says. And we're going to start reading at the 19th verse. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, speaking of his brothers, because now their father had died, they had buried their father, now the brothers, they realize, they begin to think what they had really done to their brother. And they really never acknowledged it. They really never came to terms with it. But now, they're in a position that they have to do such a thing. Let me start at the 15th verse so you can understand this. And when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure, he will hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. Now they thinking about, my goodness, what we did to this guy, man, was just unseemly. Now that evil is going to come back to us. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto yourself, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the Elohim of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brother also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, We be thy servants. And Yosef said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of Elohim? But as for you, you thought evil against me. But Elohim meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now, therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And Yosef dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Yosef lived 110 years. And Yosef saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Yosef's knees. And watch the 24th verse, because this is what I want you to see. And Yosef said unto his brother, I die, because surely this is the way of all men. We die. And Elohim will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which you swore unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, well before the children of Israel came out of Egypt. It was already prophesied that Yahweh will visit them and bring them out. And Yosef took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, Elohim will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Yosef died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. So in the end, like all our ends, Yahweh has already told us. He had already prophesied. He already let us know that he will visit us. Just like in Egypt, he will visit us. Now, when Yahweh visit us, is he going to visit us to just do good? Because he's happy? Because he's pleased? Why is Yahweh going to visit us? Have you considered this? And when Yahweh visits us, who will pray for us? Is it going to be you? And to show you, Yahweh did visit the children of Israel in Egypt. Watch this in the book of Exodus 13. In the book of Exodus 13, the 17th verse. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go. And why would Pharaoh do that? He let the people go. Because now this is the end. And not only is the end, what are we trying to reflect on? This is the reflections of the end. This is where your heart's supposed to be. This is where your thoughts should be on, the end. Watch what it says. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that Elohim led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For Elohim said, lest peradventure the people will repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But Elohim led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moshe took the bones of Yosef with him, for he had straightly sworn, children of Israel, saying, Elohim will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And that's exactly what happened. Yahweh visit. And what did Yahweh do to Egypt when he visit? It wasn't pretty. He brought terrible wonders to Egypt. Well, what would Yahweh do to us? What would Yahweh do in our end? And what are we considering in our end? And do we even anticipate, expect, consider, think that Yahweh is going to visit us? And when will Yahweh visit us? When did he visit Noah? When he told him to come into the ark. Where one went into the ark to be saved, there was others that had to die. While some came out of Egypt to live, there were many that died right there in Egypt. And even when our people went into the wilderness for 40 years, in the end, only two of that generation walked into the land. Only two. And we know what two represents. So what will Yahweh do in our end? In the book of Zephaniah, the second chapter, turn there and let us see. Because we are dealing with the reflections of the end. And why? Isn't the end supposed to be better than the beginning? But our people don't want to wait to the end. They want their blessing now. They want their due now. They want their stuff now. And they don't want to wait to the end. Well, Yahweh give you whatever you want now. But then when the end comes, too late to give it back, because better is the end of a thing than the beginning. Can't give it back now. You didn't want to wait. You didn't want to be patient. You wanted it now. Now the second chapter. And watch what it says. First verse, gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation, not desired, before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of Yah come upon you, for the day of Yah's anger come upon you. Seek Yahweh, O you meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in a day of Yah's anger. That's what it might be. If you seek righteousness, if you seek meekness. Because watch this. For Gaza shall be forsaken. And you got to know what Gaza is. Ashkelon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted up. Woe unto the inhabitants of the sea coast, the nation of the Keratites. The word of Yah is against you, O Canaan, the land of the Philistines. I will even destroy thee, that there shall be no inhabitant. And the sea coast shall be dwellings, cottages for shepherds, and fold for flocks. And watch this seventh verse. And the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Yehudah. They shall feed there upon in the houses of Ashkelon. Shall they lie down in the evening? And when is the evening? The evening is the time of the end. The end of what? The end of the day. Why would you lie down at the beginning of the day? You don't lie down at the beginning of the day. You lie down at the end. And that's when they're going to lie down. For Yahweh, their Elohim, shall visit them and turn away their captivity. So Yahweh has already prophesied that he's going to visit us. He's going to visit us. And before he visits, he's already letting you know, see, righteousness, see, meekness, that you might be hid in a day of Yah's anger. But even at this time, even at this day, who's going to pray for you? Is it you? Who will pray for you? Who will Yahweh accept? Have you considered this? Yahweh said he changed not. For ye sons of Yaakov are not destroyed. As Yahweh was, Yahweh is. And as Yahweh is how Yahweh shall be. Yahweh don't change. Who will do this in the end? Watch what the Creator let us know. Just show you a few other things. Jeremiah 8th chapter. Reflections of the end. Are we really reflecting on the end? Here it is, the Almighty lets us know that we are a people that don't even consider their end. And let me show you that so you can understand why this is so important. And then I'll go back to Jeremiah. And this is in the book of Deuteronomy. I want you to see this. Deuteronomy 32. And as I said before, our people go past the end of the day like it don't exist. And then many of our people think the end of the day is really the beginning of the day. No wonder they go past it, because they don't know what time it is anyway. Our people don't even know the end of the year. Likewise, they don't recognize Yah's Sabbaths of years. Watch what it says in Deuteronomy 32. I said, I will scatter them into corners. I will make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say our hand is high, and Yahweh have not done all this, for they are a nation void of counsel. Neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise. That they understood this. Consider their latter end. And what is the latter end? Well, let me tell you what the latter end really is. What you should really be considering, that better is the end of a thing than the beginning. The day of death than one birth. Better the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. The heart of a fool is in the house of mirth. So while everybody running from their problems, running from adversity, running, they not considering. And little do they know, they're not considering their latter end. Yahweh in the end is always, or during a time of adversity, is trying to get you to consider your end. And he's trying to bring something to an end. But you're running. You're running right into the alcohol bottle, right into the smokes, right to the club, right to all the pills and the heroin, unto the hands of the wicked. But what you have to do is stand strong and consider the thing that Yahweh is attempting to do with you. Stand strong, because all the good that comes is from Yahweh. But all the evil that will come is also from Yahweh. Is there any evil in a city? In Yahweh has not done it. So what and where are you running to? And why is it so hard, so difficult for you to sit and consider and ask yourself, in the end, who will pray for you? Who will pray for you? And just to show you, prayer is important. Prayer is essential. Prayer is from Yahweh. In the book of 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, the 14th verse, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. And that's got to be number one. You have to humble yourself. And my goodness, you see the pride, you see the haughtiness, you see it come up, and it's hardened. And why? Because you think you're right. You think you're good. But really, you're not. And if you consider your end, no matter if you're right, no matter if you're wrong, you humble yourself. Because once you humble yourself, the scripture said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open, and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. And this is what we got to do. And we're not finished talking about the end, the reflections of the end, because there are certain things that Yahweh prophesied in the end that we must know, that we must consider, and ultimately that we must do. But how can one do it and they don't even know the end? They don't know the end of a day. They don't know the end of a week. They don't know the end of the year. Nor do they know Yahweh's Sabbaths of years. So then, how can you then understand your latter end? As Yahweh told us to consider. Because you don't know when your end will come. But whenever it is, Yahweh said, that is the end of man. And the living will take it to heart. Last scripture, Jeremiah. This is what Yahweh had to say. And again, our people don't consider the end. And watch what it says. Speaking of time, fourth verse. Moreover, thou shalt say unto them, thus says Yah, shall they fall and not arise? Shall he turn away and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem sitting back by perpetual backsliding? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of the wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his own course as the horse rushed into the battle. Yea, the stork in the heaven know of her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of Yahweh. And I'm saying Yahweh judgment is coming. How do you say we are wise? And the law of Yahweh is with us. Lo, certainly in vain may he it the pen of the scribes is in vain because you don't listen to it anyway. You don't read it. You don't adhere to it. You don't understand it. You don't do it. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of Yahweh. And what wisdom is in them? Therefore will I give their wise unto others, their fields to them that shall inherit them. For everyone from the least even unto the greatest even is given to covetousness. From the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace, and there is no peace now, and there is no peace coming. People are talking about they the remnant. You can give them that peace. But watch what Yahweh say. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? And here it is. Y'all know how many abominations we have committed? Do you have any shame? No, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. In the time of their visitation, they shall be cast down, says Yahweh. And Yahweh have already prophesied that he will visit us. And are you ready, prepared for Yahweh's visitation? There's only one way to be prepared. If you have considered your latter end, and Yahweh have already let the wise know they must do in the end. So until tomorrow, Yahweh love you, and so do I. Shalom.
To you, my Yadu, I lift up my soul. And trusting you, he always kept me whole.
Uh-huh.
And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. Put shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh Elohim of my salvation. I'm staying down impatient as a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Leave me in your truth, and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by your seed. The secret of Yahweh who fears Elohim, a fool believes everything. And to every word spoken, you can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse. You know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging y'all for mercy. And it's love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy.